You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Welcome to episode 7 of the MemoCast. This episode is called My Sliders Are Ready, because my sliders are in fact ready now. I was cooking some lunch today, and Michael showed up a little bit. I started lunch late, and he showed up later than expected, so things didn't work out, so I'll eat those later. But it's a good week. I'm not tired. I will actually be coherent.
Form complete sentences now?
I will form complete sentences. I will be charismatic. It's going to be a really good show. Especially because we have a fair amount to talk to, both in the newsworthy notes, the rumor mill, which is another little thing we're going to try and do, since a lot of what we talk about is just speculation and rumor and hearsay, so why not give it its own segment? And then just some actual, some headlines, some big things. So without getting too ahead of ourselves, let's go into the newsworthy notes.
From the Nerdosphere!
And now, this week's newsworthy notes. Some music-related stuff before going into the Nerdosphere. Alkaline Trio, one of my favorite bands, is playing album shows across the U.S. They're doing 3 different residencies in L.A., New York, and Chicago, where they're playing their entire discography of 8 albums over the course of 4 nights at each stay. The show sold out in 5 minutes. I'm still going to try and find a way in. If come hell or high water, it's going to happen. Slightly nerdy news, depending on who you ask. WWE SmackDown returns to Ontario August 26th to film that week's episode, and tickets went on sale this Friday. Still plenty in there at the Citizens Business Bank Arena, so definitely check that out. I'm going to buy a couple, and we're going to take a little trip down there come August. Should be a really rad time.
Yep.
Indeed. Also this week, the Straight Outta Compton, which is the NWA biopic, got a release date, and its first promo shots. And so it's August 15th, 2015, and the promo shot featured director Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, and then the actors playing Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, and Ice Cube, which is funny because, and I thought it was a little bit of nepotism when I saw this, but Ice Cube's son is playing him, but then when I saw the picture, he looks exactly the way his dad did at that age, so yeah. It makes perfect sense.
No, I actually saw a documentary recently about NWA, and Ice Cube was hinted at the movie coming out, so I thought it was really cool that it finally got a release date.
Yeah, so it's finally got a release date, started production, and you know what? It should be a good thing. Ice Cube says it's going to take place from the beginning of NWA up until Eazy-E's death. Like, that's the time span that they're doing, you know? And it's way unrelated news. Bear Grylls is getting another show on NBC called Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
What else is there left for him to eat and or...
He's bringing celebrities.
Oh, that's...
So he's bringing a different episode, different celebrities. Some of the celebrities include Zac Efron, Channing Tatum, Ben Stiller, Deion Sanders.
I may have to break my rule about not watching reality television in order to watch this show.
Yes. I want to see all of these episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like the best one is going to be him and Deion Sanders, because Deion Sanders, the football player, is very... He's very energetic and passionate and very, PMA, positive mental attitude. I feel like they would vibe really well, and he'd just be like, yeah, I'm so into this. I'm so into this.
2 minutes later, I don't want to eat the cricket. You're going to have to eat the cricket.
And I'm going to do it with as much enthusiasm as I possibly can muster. You know, and then the big, big, big news is Diagon Alley finally got the opening date. So July 8th, Diagon Alley, the extension to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter over there in Orlando, Florida, finally opens Universal Studios, and that park is going to be packed.
Yeah, that's, I don't even want to think about that.
No, because I've been to Wizarding World twice, and thankfully they've all been in, the middle of the week, a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yeah.
Where it's not too bad, but even then, the some of the lines are still, a 20-minute plus, on a slow day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want to know what it looks like on the weekends.
That's not the business.
Yeah. But, from all the images that I've seen, it really does look beautiful. It's the same team that brought us the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, so I didn't expect them to drop their game, but it seems like, if anything, they just went above and beyond. And I think the really cool part is that now there's going to be a train that takes you between the two parks.
Oh, that's cool.
Because each land, each theme park, or each land is in a different theme park.
Yeah.
So you have to buy a park hopper pass and then travel between the two via the train.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, each park has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. Like, Universal Studios has the Simpsons land that just opened up.
Yeah.
So that's another incentive to want to go there. They have the King and Kodos, like, Tilt-A-Whirl type ride. Mm-hmm. They have all the different restaurants. It's pretty nuts.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen any of the video footage or...
No, I haven't. Either. We'll check that out later.
Yeah. No, you really need to. And though that's it for newsworthy notes, well, one more thing that Mike wants to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, I've been talking about D&D a lot in the last few episodes.
And there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Dungeons & Dragons, which is something that's really near and dear to my heart and I feel really passionate about. But it doesn't make sense for me to constantly keep bringing up, like, oh, and they're doing this and they're doing that. So I just want to talk about really quick, if you guys want the latest news on what's going on with Dungeons & Dragons, follow the Dungeons & Dragons Twitter. I think it's at WOTC_DND.
D&D.
Yeah, and one of the things they've started doing is releasing the new character sheets from the starters box that comes out in July. July 15th is the release date.
July's a big month.
Yeah, I've already pre-ordered it. I got it for like $12 on Amazon, so we're definitely going to do the episode. And they released the fighter.
Yeah.
Character sheet. So you get to see all the different traits and different RP things that they're really trying to bring home in this new starter box. So, all right. Yeah.
It sounds pretty nuts. And so that's going to do it for Newsworthy Notes. Now, like I said, new segment, we're going into the rumor mill.
The rumor mill.
The rumor mill. Mailing the rumors. So the first one, we're going to do a lot of DC stuff and get it out of the way. The first one is, we talked about it last week and how there was that DC cinematic universe timeline that leaked for their release schedule of different movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Kevin Smith this past week says that's totally legit. I mean, it's still not an official statement, and so it's still being treated as rumor, but knowing that Kevin, who recently, or not recent, but a while ago, broke the news about how the bat suit was going to look, was 100% on the money.
Well, you know, his buddy Ben Affleck is kind of in the movies. Yeah. So.
He could be feeding just Kevin Smith whatever he wants. Here you go, Kevin. And then just to watch and see what happens. If anything, I would laugh if they purposely gave Ben Affleck false information.
So it would leak to Kevin Smith.
So they could be like, aha! We knew it! Bring me the fat man. Because in this podcast, the fat man on Batman or...
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks to be legit. Should be fun.
I think as we're talking about this, I look up and see the Kevin Smith action figure you have in the corner.
That's not just any Kevin Smith action figure. That's... What is that? Blunt Man.
Yeah.
Or is that Chronic? I forget. But I always forget who's who in that.
I don't even know.
The point is, it's Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mickey got that the other day. It was just pretty fun. He also got an Iron Maiden beer. I don't know how, at the age of 20, he did that, but he did.
Yep.
And then, speaking of which, there's apparently the possibility of a Batman film in 2019.
Okay.
Woo! 4 years. That means all of the kids going into high school, like, this fall, mm-hmm. will have that as their graduation present.
Yep. As a new Batman movie.
With Ben Affleck pushing 50.
Mm-hmm. You know, being older, maybe there'll be a Batman Beyond movie.
I would not be against that.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, there could be teasing of it in there.
Yeah. That'd be very shway.
He saves some boy named Terry or something like that. That'd be kind of cool. And there's a lot of Marvel stuff going on, so we're going to talk about that. I guess depends on who asks. The bigger of the two is... Hulk sequel is now seriously being entertained in the past. It's always going, it's something we'd like to do, something we'll get around to. But I guess Mark Ruffalo was saying, like, now there's, like, actual talks as, like, to how it would be done. And
yeah.
Ideas being thrown out there. And, you know, it's been a while since we've had a Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, there were some cool parts to it, but overall, I would say underwhelming.
Yeah.
The second one was really, really good, but I feel like the first one left a horrible taste in people's mouths. So mm-hmm. It didn't really bring the money they wanted. But after seeing, you know, Mark and the Avengers really just steal the show, I feel like they know it can be a worthwhile franchise. It's just, when is the right moment to bring it?
Someone called him the Remus Lupin of the Avengers. I thought it was an apt description of him.
That's a fair assessment. And so hopefully we get that soon. I mean, from the way things are shaping up, it's looking like the Phase 3 in 2016 is going to be Cap 3 and possibly Doctor Strange. So maybe it's a 2017 project.
Okay.
I could see that being like that's their sequel for the year. And then like bringing in like a Black Panther mm-hmm. as like a new film or something like that.
Okay.
I just want to see Black Panther or somebody's.
Yeah.
Like... And then the other one, going more into the cosmic side, is Nathan, was it Fillion?
Yeah, Nathan Fillion.
Is rumored to be playing Richard Rider slash Nova in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to see Nathan Fillion in anything.
Well, you know what is interesting about it is because he does a lot of voice work as the Green Lantern in the DC animated universe for their films. And so he's known as, like, the people's Green Lantern, similar to how The Rock is the people's champion.
Yeah.
And so there was talk of him possibly being, like, a rebooted Green Lantern in their new cinematic universe. So I think Marvel was just kind of like, ha-ha!
We got him first!
We have Whedon! We have the Fillion!
Yep.
It's like, deal with it! I could see this, like, in a WWE ring. You just see like the two factions building each other, and you just see Joss Whedon with his arms crossed holding the microphone, and then Triple H comes out. He's like, now you two are gonna settle this at WrestleMania.
That's terrible. That's absolutely... I can see it, and it's terrible.
You know you'd watch it.
I would. I would watch anything with Nathan Fillion.
I wonder what his finishing move would be. Like, what would it be called?
The Crazy Ivan? It'd have to be called the Crazy Ivan.
Yes. Yes. So, hopefully that turns out to be true, because that would be kind of like a little snub against DC. Like, intentionally, unintentionally, depending on how you want to look at it, being like, hey, you wanted him to be your cosmic guy, well, now he's ours.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have sat on the toilet too long. You know. So that's going to be cool. And so, I mean, that's it as far as rumor mills. Now let's actually talk about news that is confirmed, that is true.
First of all, why is there motorcycles just driving up your street constantly?
Dude, we're in Fontana.
That's true.
So Rosario Dawson has been cast as a female lead in the upcoming Daredevil TV show for Netflix.
Okay.
And so didn't say who she's playing. But my guess is she's probably going to be the former district attorney, forget her first name, but former district attorney McDuffie.
Okay.
That might even be her last name. I already forgot. And I haven't read, I have like the latest four issues of Daredevil on a stack, but I just haven't read them yet.
Okay.
Because I like to read them kind of together like a trade.
Yeah.
But I buy them, support the book. And so she was a character introduced in Mark Waid's run, and I could totally see that happening and being a really good fit, and I could see her doing that character justice.
Okay.
I mean, that might not be who she plays, but I could definitely see that.
All right.
So we have to see how that goes. And to kind of cap out this first half, Mike's going to wrap it up with some talk on Minecraft.
Yeah, so in gaming news this past few weeks, it's been really interesting because Minecraft creator Marcus Notch Parsons, I forget how you pronounce his last name.
We're bad with names today.
Yeah. He recently came out and said that in Minecraft's end-user license agreement, it states that no third party shall ever make money off of Minecraft in a way that Mojang does not agree with. And which is really interesting because that impacts the way that people play Minecraft multiplayer. That a lot of multiplayer Minecraft servers charge people as far as a quote-unquote donation in order to get a certain status on their servers. So you can, you know, pay $15 to donate to the running cost of the server, and then you get special perks and or, you know, things on the server. You get special creative mode or special spawning and item privileges, or you get your own special sub-server or division all to yourself that no one else has access to, all kinds of different things. And I find this really interesting that they said they're going to start cracking down on this.
Yeah.
And that if you are charging, you know, quote-unquote donations in order to give certain players privileges over others, they're going to shut you down.
Yeah.
And they're actually going to start shutting down these companies that charge people to... Yes, random person on the road.
Dude, we have a sign that says honk if you're angry.
Honk if you're angry about Minecraft. Yeah. That they're going to start shutting down these companies that are running the servers.
Yeah.
Because they are, in effect, making money off of Minecraft,
mm-hmm.
which I find really interesting. It's in one way, I completely agree with Mojang as a company backing up their end-user license agreements.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming down and they're saying, hey, you know what? We've said this thing from the very beginning since Minecraft was ever a thing, and we've kind of let it slide over these years, but we don't want people making money and giving other people privileges off of our game.
Yeah.
We want everyone to be able to enjoy Minecraft together as you know, as one player experience without people making money off of it.
Yeah.
And they do realize it's kind of like, hey, we've kind of let it slide so far, but we're going to back it up. And starting in August, that they're going to start shutting some of these people down and kind of coming down on some of these server owners and people who own the servers as far as, you know, licensing them out.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting to me is that the people who play Minecraft obviously have no qualms joining these servers or even paying for these privileges. So if, to me, it makes more sense from a financial perspective and from a creative perspective is to why not work with them to get a better system in place. It's because, you know, rather than shutting it down and therefore limiting the amount of users who want to play your game, mm-hmm. why not help work with these companies and maybe even incorporate them somehow so that they can still make their money and they can thrive, and then you just bring more people willing to play your game. Because at the end of the day, it's more money for you because the amount of merchandise that Minecraft sells mm-hmm. is high. I work at Hot Topic. We have like a lot of
exactly. There's an entire section in the store.
And so how do you sell more? By making more fans. How do you have more fans? By getting more people into the game. And if you're going to shut down servers where more people can, you know, start playing this game, you're mm-hmm. going to hurt your own fan base.
Yeah, that's. I feel really conflicted about this because Mojang, you know, and Notch, and they've always been very, very open to the idea of you know, the modding community and people, you know, buying the merchandise and making the game open and available to everyone. That's why it's not on Steam. They don't want a double login to be able to enjoy their game. They want you to be able to just log in and play their game. Not, oh, Steam's down, so now I can't play Minecraft.
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting move, and I feel conflicted because I've run a Minecraft server in the past.
Yeah.
And I've had to take donations from my players to keep the server going, and I've myself have run a server off of this system.
Yeah. Like, to me, like, I can understand if they wanted to do that if, for example, like, there are people doing unfair things in, mm-hmm. like, in for getting these donations, or if people had to, like, against their will, like, somehow had to do it to participate. But they're not, they're willingly saying, I'm okay with this.
Well, that's the thing, though, is there has in the past, being a Minecraft multiplayer player, there has in the past, there are people who will buy themselves into, like, mod status, you know, moderator status on a server, and completely abuse that power.
Yeah. See, that stuff should be limited.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Like I was saying, anything that takes away from the game being level playing field, by all means, toss it out the window, restrict that. Mm-hmm. But for simple, like, things that don't really, you know, make you a god, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fair play.
I don't know. I think it's too soon to see if this is a case of throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
We'll see. Only time will tell when August hits and they start cracking down on these people that are basically selling incentives on their servers.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I mean, we'll have to let it really play out, but those are the initial thoughts on that. And that concludes the first half. We're going to go into a quick little musical break, and then we'll be back. We're actually going to talk more about lawsuits because Hasbro has a similar creative lawsuit that they just, you know, hit the news this week, and that'll be interesting. So for all you bronies out there, it's going to be an interesting 2014. Yep. So we're going to listen to Alkaline Trio and Kayatana, and then when we get back, more lawsuits.
Yep.
Where I am in another time, in another place, loving my life. It looks like you're the one who needs to be taught a lesson, pal. Class is paying 101. Your instructor's Casey Jones.
Guys and girls, and everyone in between, this is the second half. I hope you guys enjoyed the music. I know I did.
You haven't even listened to it.
So we're going to bring you guys back in and talk about bronies.
Yes, and lawsuits.
And lawsuits. Bronies and lawsuits. So apparently, in the most recent months, Hasbro is going to copyright or try to copyright the term brony, which refers to the adult male fans of the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic franchise. I guess we just read an article in which an online shop owner tried to post something to her online shop and was told by Zazzle, right?
Yes, Zazzle.
Told her that they took her product down because it referenced the term brony, which Hasbro has put a copyright on, or tried to at least put a copyright claim on. Which is really interesting that they would
copyright a term they didn't create.
Yeah, that the term was created on 4chan.
Yeah,
way back when the show first aired,
October 23rd, 2010. 10 days. The Mary Sue article, which I want to give props to the Mary Sue for writing a really well detailed, very balanced article, and they're a great website that you should check out.
Yes,
but yeah, so.
To me, it seems like they're really alienating a huge chunk of their fan base, and this is a really poor move on their part. It seems like we've had this discussion before where you let suits make decisions for creative types, And it's one of those things where a bunch of suits got together, saw a bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet, and said, we have to do something to stop this. There's money that we're losing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is the network that broadcasts My Little Pony is The Hub.
Yeah.
And if, I don't know if you probably do know this, but for those who don't, The Hub is a joint venture between Hasbro and Discovery Channel.
Okay.
Okay, so Hasbro is the big toy maker,
mm-hmm.
you know. So for them, it seems like an obvious move to try and deter people making products that might take away from their own. So I can see that as a – I'm not saying I agree with it, but as a business strategy move, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like – they want to be the only ones raking in that sweet, sweet pony cash.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be real. The My Little Pony franchise right now brings in enough money where you can have cartoon ducks comfortably swimming in your vault of cash.
Yes.
And for that, for those of you who got that DuckTales reference, I love you. But...
Okay.
Are you picturing Scrooge McDuck swimming in totally. My Little Pony cash?
Yeah, no, it's a little like it has, you know, Celestia, like, yeah. you know, on the little dollar bills. Yes. And just swimming through it.
Rainbow Dash on his Mr. McDuck's first penny.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, from a business standpoint, it makes sense. Like, I get the mentality of these suits making these decisions, and it's like, hey, we want to be the only ones making money off of this thing. Other people are taking our intellectual property and making money off of it.
Yeah.
We don't want that. But at the same time, I think it hurts the franchise or the brand by way of alienating this huge fan base that has kind of, you know, taken this franchise and ran with it.
Yeah.
And they're making all these cool, crazy things. Having, you know, I was dating a Pegasister, which is the female equivalent of a Brony, for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I've seen every single My Little Pony episode from episode one up until the third season finale.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, it's a really cool show. And if I had a daughter, I would definitely be something that I would sit down and watch with her and talk to her about.
Yeah, no, I watched the whole first season, and even though it wasn't my cup of tea, I kind of understood as to why it's so popular.
Exactly.
You know, I got it. What's interesting to me is, this is like a whole corporation is not wanting to work with these fan bases, but why not find a way, if you see a cool design, why not license it? Like, mm-hmm. why not pay this person money?
Yeah.
Because if they're making money, they're more inclined to make more awesome things for you. Bring them into your give them a job.
Exactly.
If this product is doing so well that it infringes on your cash flow, buy them out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or you know, bring them into the fold. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's your new creative like designer right there.
Exactly. No, it doesn't make any sense from like someone out, and it doesn't make any sense from someone on the creative spectrum of things. To where if you're creating something, it's an homage to something that this company has given you.
Yeah.
And you are so inclined to that. You know, I write Dungeons & Dragons adventures. That's what I do in my free time. And if Wizards of the Coast were to come to me and say, hey, we like your stuff. Come write Dungeons & Dragons adventures, or we want to license the ones that you've written.
Yeah.
I would be like, yes, here, take them.
Yes,
we want to all my ideas.
We want to put them in a starter set, written adventures. Yeah,
yeah, you know, okay. Here's all my notebooks full of characters and things that I've written. You know that,
and then you ride out in your golden rocket car.
Exactly, and it doesn't make sense from a creative standpoint to why these people aren't sitting there thinking, hey, this person on DeviantArt made this really cool T-shirt design. Why don't we license that design, give them a cut of the profits?
Yeah.
We're going to be raking in the cash anyways. They're going to be happy making a couple $1,000 a month off of this thing. Yeah. We're going to be making so much more than that.
Yeah. You know, we need to own a company.
Yeah, we really should. We will be the ultimate company.
That's the name, Ultimate Company.
Ultimate Company.
What do you make? Doesn't matter. I just know that equality is ultimate. That's our slogan. We don't know what we make, but we know that the quality is ultimate.
Yep.
And so that lawsuit little thing is going down. And now on to some Star Wars news.
Okay.
If we're talking about big companies, you know, Disney owning Star Wars. And that is that Rian Johnson has been picked up to write and direct episodes 8 and 9.
Hmm.
And so we were researching him before the episode, and we saw that on top of being, you know, the creative mind behind Brick... And mm-hmm. Looper, he also did some work for Breaking Bad, but so, for
the best episodes of Breaking Bad, like Ozymandias, and oh my gosh, like some of the best episodes. So I think the franchise is in good hands. Yeah. I think with him behind the wheel, we're going to get some cool stuff. We're going to see how the J.J. Abrams number 7 comes out.
Yeah,
but I think 8 and 9 are in good hands.
Yeah, even if like 7, like it's kind of shaky. Like people are already on board for 8 and 9.
Yeah,
you know. And out of all the things in his filmography, I feel like the biggest highlight for me was that he directed a Mountain Goats video.
Yeah, that was a really interesting video with like
how it kept going from like screen to screen. Like, yeah. Oh, here's my TV, my computer, my camcorder. And so I'm a big Mountain Goats fan, but I didn't get into the Mountain Goats at the time that music video was made.
Okay.
Because that music video was made in 2006. We were in high school. I didn't get into them until about like my second, like
apparently we're going somewhere.
I didn't get into them until my second year of college, so about 2008-ish. And so I just never saw the video.
Yeah.
I heard the song, I just never really looked into the video. So to find this out now, it's like, oh dude, like, you know, like, if the Mountain Goats can back this guy, I back this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm sold. And so we'll have to wait, obviously, for more details, because the 7th one hasn't even been made yet.
Yeah. You know,
in fact, the only big thing we still have is Harrison Ford got injured on set. It's apparently not going to hinder the recording timetable. I think they're just filming all the scenes without him now. It's okay. Like, it's just shifted. So
yeah.
It'll still be on. And so, with that, we talked about that. Robert,
according to your notes in the notebook.
No T. Robert England, known for playing Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street series, is making one final appearance this summer at a big convention.
In Chicago,
with the Chicago Dogs, and then the Deep Dish, and then the Bears, and the Bulls.
The Bears.
And so he's going to be doing photo ops at the Flashback Weekend Chicago Horror Convention, where you can pay $365.
$1 for every day of the year.
Exactly. And you can take a picture with Freddy. And after this, he's done. Retired.
Never doing it again.
Yeah, so this will be your, like, even if you don't want to take a picture, you can still have it just to see it. You're not going to see it again. So I would say you should go. It looks to be a fine event. So for all Chicago fans or those with the money and the desire to travel, head up to Chicago.
Yep.
And now we're going to go, what's it, back in time a little bit.
Okay.
Talk about Heroes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So Heroes Reborn is currently in the pre-production phase, getting ready to make the series return on NBC. And so the biggest casting news, and really the only casting news I've seen so far, is that HRG is back. That is confirmation.
Yeah, Noah. I think as of all the characters that they ever really that came forward on that show, I think he was one of the most interesting.
Yeah.
He really was. And when you got to see his little, like, arc in Company Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you learned about his wife who had passed away and died because of a guy with powers, that you really got to understand him and his motivations. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like,
well, not only that, but he was just a very well-calculated man. Like, even like his whole trying to hide Claire thing, like, he that's the episode where he, like, he shoots himself, or he has the Haitian shoot him.
Yeah.
And then he has the Haitian, like, mind wipe him. That of his own plan.
Yeah.
So it's like when he gets picked up by the company, he was like, I don't know, like, I'm shy. I don't have any recollection. So it's like, it's all in the Haitian. Like, that, you know, that was the kind of, like, person he was. He was always the tactical genius in every single situation, you know, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
And even if the show did have its shortcomings to where at times they would kind of, like, be a little bit circular in his narrative and this whole, you know, issues of Claire growing up stuff, he was still an interesting character, nonetheless. He was. Great actor. And like I said, this show is trying to be a return to form. And so hopefully they can really do justice with him. And I feel like with HRG coming back, we stand to see, you know, like a good show.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and also in the announcement of this was saying that Milo Ventimiglia and Zachary Quinto are currently unavailable at the moment, but down the line might make cameo appearances. I mean, to be honest, though, at the very least, Zachary Quinto does make sense. I mean, he blew up from that show. He's got a lot of things going on.
He's got some stuff going on.
I mean, it's not like he's, you know, one of the main stars in some franchise related to something we just talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Or anything, right? But Yeah, so we'll have to obviously wait and see how this goes and see who they bring back. But I am more than okay with seeing like an entirely new cast being headed by HRG.
Yeah, no, like maybe like Heroes, you know, what is it called, like Rebirth or?
I think it's Rebirth.
Yeah, so I mean, it's obviously it would make sense to have an entirely new cast of, you know, young specials.
If anything, you know who I also want to see, though, is Angela Petrelli.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they had such good chemistry together. Mm-hmm. But more importantly is that their morals and their mindsets weren't always aligned. They weren't always on the same page, which I feel makes for, you know, good drama.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they're, like, she was willing to do things that he wasn't and vice versa. So, plus it's like one of us, one of them.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know? I always liked her powers of, you know, precognition.
Yeah.
You know,
precognitive dreams, yeah.
Yeah, which was really rad to see. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they do bring her back. In fact, if no one else from the old cast returns but those two, I would still be happy.
Yeah.
You know, so let's see what they do with that. NBC, don't fail us. Please.
Yeah. Please. Don't fail us again.
And again.
And again.
Yeah. You know, and you know what, though? Despite season two and, to an extent, season three being somewhat lackluster, I still enjoy them, but it did hurt to see the drop in quality.
Yeah.
And I might be in the minority here, but I thought season four, for the most part, was excellent.
Yeah.
There were some weak points, but as a whole.
Okay.
As a whole, it was pretty damn
good. I'll give you that. Everyone's entitled to their opinions.
Okay, like one of the biggest weaknesses was Hero. For some reason, he learns a lesson and forgets the next episode.
Yeah,
I was saying as a whole, the story was cool, but there's like individual moments in a couple like episode here that I was like hitting myself in the head.
Yeah,
you know, most of those moments being Hero. You know,
yeah,
it sucks because he was the main draw to the series for me, and they ruined that character. You know, he was like. He was the guy who idolized superheroes and had the whole comic thing. He became a hero, but I was like, for someone who's read so many comics, you make a lot of dumb fucking decisions.
Yeah.
Like,
going back in time to, oh my gosh, okay, anyways.
We could go down a cycle for months on this. And then this brings us to the final topic. Final topic is the Dead, White, and Blue Marathon AMC.
Yeah.
We were talking about AMC a little bit earlier with Breaking Bad. So their other big show, or one of the others. So
yeah.
You got Mad Men. You got a couple. So this one is The Walking Dead. They're having a marathon 4th of July weekend. And they're showing the entire series from beginning to end of what's been aired. And then they're going to have a little season 5 sneak preview of what's to come ahead to end the whole marathon. And that's really exciting. And then Tuesday... The two consecutive Tuesdays, they're showing two documentaries about the show. So one is about, like, the making of the show as a whole, the first Tuesday. And then, so that's, what is it, the 10th or something.
Yeah.
Just check AMC's viewing schedule to get the exact date. But just know that two Tuesdays after 4th of July weekend. Did I say Memorial Day weekend? I feel like I might have said Memorial Day weekend earlier.
I don't know. We can edit that in post-production.
We could leave it in there. It'll make more sense because I'm dumb. So it's not like anyone will be surprised.
Yeah.
So 4th of July weekend, all that stuff. So the first documentary on the first Tuesday is about the show as a whole. Second one is about like the process of doing the whole walkers, like what it takes for makeup, for acting, how they get them. And so I'm actually more interested in the second documentary because I watched The Talking Dead, and so they always do sneak peek stuff all the time. I don't really need a documentary about that. It's cool, I'll watch it, but I don't need it.
Yeah,
it's The Walker. Like, I want to see like a really in-depth look into that because it's supposed to be about an hour, you know.
That's pretty long,
you know. About the length of a you know, episode of Walking Dead, the commercials and whatnot, you know. So it should be good, you know.
I'd be interested to see that because I haven't kept up with Walking Dead since the first season. When they put the first season up on Netflix, me and my ex watched it all the way through, like, in a weekend. And I remember reading the original comic up until a certain point, like, pretty much the entire first season.
Yeah.
And after that, I kind of dropped off. So I think it would be pretty interesting for someone who's not really up to date with the series and what's been going on.
Yeah. The documentaries, I feel, is even a good way to bring in new fans.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because the show, like, is really big, but, like, with any show, there's always more room for growth.
Yeah.
And, plus, like, I feel like, at the very least, like, the second one will get a lot of high ratings from, like, zombie fans who may not like the series, either comic, TV show, or both.
Yeah.
Just because, like, they'll be interested in the makeup aspects.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Because there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, when we were just in high school, and we had to do stage makeup and stuff when we were in drama together.
That was like a 25-minute process just to make us look a little bit brighter on stage. Like,
yeah, so this has got to be intense as all hell, so.
You know, like the fake skin, all the prosthetics.
Spirit gum out the ass.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to. And actually, you know, I have one more talking point. It's more of a blurb, and I just showed you these earlier, but they finally showed the pictures for new Ninja Turtles action figures.
Oh, yeah, they did.
The fully articulate and removable head so you can change their moves and have them be posing around, do cool stuff. And they look nice, but I already know they're going to be pricey, so it's like, will I buy the whole set? Probably not.
Yeah. Oh, and also speaking of cool new things that have come out, as some of you know, I'm not really into the whole cape and cowl aspect of comic books, and comic books is something that Mondo's been kind of, like, thrusting me into and taking me out to comic book stores here and there.
Yes.
For those of you who may be like me, who are not really into superhero comics, I found two really cool cool new comic books that I'm really enjoying. One is the Big Trouble in Little China comic book that just came out. I'm a huge fan of Big Trouble in Little China, no bullshit, Jack, and I found this new one, and it picks up right after Jack Burton leaves everyone with the troll on the back of his truck. And then the second one is the Dresden Files, the book series I talked about a couple episodes back, has its own comic book series that takes place in between some of the most recent books. So they're really, really cool. If you're not really into cape and cowl and it's not something you think you're going to, you know, you're into more offset comic books, definitely pick those up. I picked up the first episodes, the first issues just this past week. They're really cool. Go ahead, get those.
Yeah. And speaking of new comics, I just bought issue one of Lumberjanes. I've yet to read it, but it's the huge critically acclaimed series right now, and I'm going to pick up issues 2 and 3 and just chain read them. And so that's something you should also look into. Like, there's just a lot of really cool... So even if you're, like, not into the whole superhero thing, there's a lot of good books out there for you to read.
Definitely.
If you check out smaller companies like Image and Boom, IDW, so many out there, like, you'll find something for you.
Yes.
You know, in fact, like, there was a while where the Image Humble Indie Bundle with all those different books.
Yeah.
And I sent you the link, but I can tell you didn't buy anything.
I didn't.
You should have, dude, because, like, at least five of those, I think there's a total of 10, five they give you just for free.
Wow,
you could have downloaded the PDFs for free for half the stuff there. Because I think the way it works is, like, the first five are free. You could pay a penny. You pay nothing. You could pay $20. They'll give it to you. But as you unlock more books the more you spend. So if you spend this much, you get these two books. Like, in order to get all of them, you have to spend what the average
donation was.
So the longer it went on, the more you had to spend, obviously. So if you were one of the ones that jumped really quickly, you probably got lucky.
Yeah.
Unless, like, the guy before you, I'll pay $1,000 because I'm rich.
He is an outlier and should not be counted.
It's like, nope. We must be fair.
Counting outliers is not fair. That's why they're outliers.
I don't need any of your logic and math.
I don't need people who took statistics.
Nope. Not in my America.
And on that note, thank you guys for watching, for listening once again and enduring our nonsense.
And this episode was not incoherent.
So thank you guys, and bye guys. Say goodbye.